We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at @Eckernerwall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hi.
Make sure you thumbs up the video. Make sure you subscribe to our CHGO Sports YouTube channel. We're getting closer and closer to 50,000 subscribers. We got a Bulls pre and post game tonight as they are taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. So make sure you tune into Matt Peck, Big Dave, and Will Gottlieb's show later on tonight. And also, head over to allchgo.com. You can become a diehard there. Vinny's got a White Sox weekly that he's starting for diehards. He's also got a brand new piece about Garrett Crochet. Joining us now, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. Oh, unplug my laptop is what Sarah is mimicking to me under behind. It's Vinny Duber.
Hello.
Hello. You're at Camelback Ranch. How is it? How's the Wi-Fi there? First off, I mean, are you going to be with us the entire show?
Well, so far so good, but how dare you even bring it up?
Sorry, I'm just, you know, I don't know how, you know, the state of our show. Just want to make sure. What was the main topic today? Obviously, we have video from Dylan Cease and Pedro Grifol. Was that center stage, or was it more, you know, hey, look at all the 68 players that are here?
Yeah, I mean, pitchers and catchers report today. So, I mean, if you were one of those folks who circled this day on your calendar, this is the day that you were waiting for. This is the official start of spring training, I guess you can say, for the White Sox, even though all these guys have been here for a while now. But Dylan Cease talked today, and I think it was obviously important to hear from him after the offseason that he just went through and that White Sox fans went through. I don't want to say because of him, but in regards to him, we'll say. And basically, you know, Sean, you were tearing your hair out basically every week because you're like, when is this trade going to happen? And or what hair you have, I suppose, to take a shot. But, you know, yeah. But and a trade obviously never did happen. So to hear from Dylan today about how that was for him, maybe a little anticlimactic for the reasons that Chris Getz and Pedro Grifol had talked about all offseason long, that this is a guy who's pretty well equipped to deal with this kind of thing just from what his personality is. But it was necessary to hear that because here's a guy that for months we kind of all thought, and even he admitted to thinking at one point during this winter that he wasn't going to be here today, or that he wasn't going to be here with the White Sox today, I should say. Listen, he could have been in Florida with the Orioles or Florida with the Braves. He could have been across the way over here with the Dodgers. That was brought up at one point. Maybe he would have been in Goodyear with the Reds. Instead he's here. He's still a White Sox, and he had to talk about that today, and he did. And I thought he handled it well, as we're about to show.
And Vinny, I wanted to see pitchers and catchers, of course, reporting today. And yesterday, Pedro said there was one catcher missing. Did everybody get to make it to camp today on time?
As far as I know, everybody who's supposed to be here is here. And certainly a lot of folks who aren't mandated to be here yet are here as well. Really the only people that we didn't see today, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert Jr. You know, there were some folks that we didn't see, but we saw signs of, so I don't want to necessarily throw any other names out there and accuse them of not being here if they were here. Those were the two that Pedro Grifol mentioned when asked who wasn't here yet. But again, those guys don't have to be here till next week. And I even brought up yesterday, I think when you asked me, Herb, that sometimes folks who come from different parts of the world, which Eloy Jimenez certainly falls into that category, you know, that they're sometimes not the quickest to arrive. No problems here. And Pedro Grifol says that they could basically start a full squad workout right now. That's how many folks are already in attendance.
Remember when Sammy used to use that as an excuse? Oh, visa problems. Oh, can't get in there at February 21st. And then that's come some bit strolling like March 1st. Like, hey, what's up, folks? Love to do things. It's like, Sammy, you live in Miami. Visa problems.
Well, what do you do though? You just show up and then hit 60 homers?
Yeah. It was like a veteran thing. Like, you know, people don't want to practice baseball. They want to play baseball.
Dallas Keuchel did the same thing. And I think that went the same way. I think he hit 60 homers that year, the equivalent.
People hit 60 off of him.
I guess as the people in the chat are pointing out as well, like Connor Smith, it is Jose Valentin Day as well. So to all of our amours out there in the chat, we love you very much. Happy Valentin Day. And grow out the mustache, which I guess before we get in, Cease is not doing.
Well, I mean, it's there, certainly. The hair is all there where it's supposed to be for the mustache. But
than you.
He's got a full beard going. He, as I tweeted, he left me all alone on Mustache Island. So we are mustache bros no longer, I guess.
Yeah, Mustache Island, what a trip. I think that's where Eloy Jimenez is flying in from. All right, let's play some Dylan Cease, and then after Dylan Cease, we'll take a break, and then we'll hear from our leader, El Capitan, Pedro Grifol, and then we'll chat a little bit about the jerseys. Maybe we'll do that when Dylan Cease ends, and we'll also talk about old friend Liam Hendricks as he is nearing a new team. So let's quit hemming and hawing. As Vinny said, Dylan Cease talked a lot about the rumors this offseason, so here is Dylan Cease addressing the nastiness and rumors around his name this offseason.
I mean, I just pretty much tried to follow it and see what was happening, but for the most part, I just focused on getting ready because at the end of the day, I just want to perform.
What were your conversations like with Chris? He said that he was in pretty constant contact with you.
Yeah, he just let me know that if anything was imminent, that I would, you know, basically get a heads up. So I think with those things, it's just, I think it can be, you know, a last minute thing sometimes. So I feel like it's pretty hard to give too much of a notice, you know, but yeah, he just told me he would let me know.
Is there any level of anxiety on edge or just kind of waiting to see what happens because we're in camp now?
Yeah, like currently or back in the offseason?
Currently,
no, not really. Like I said, I just want to perform.
Is it kind of like one of them double-edged things, like you don't want the upheaval, but also it hearing your name there shows that people want you and that they think highly of you as a player?
Yeah, it's a part of it's exciting, you know. I mean, I guess anything that's new and novel like that can be exciting. But I have a lot of good relationships with teammates and coaches and all that here. So I pretty much was just trying to prepare like it was a normal off season, and you know, wherever I went, I was gonna be ready.
We asked this of guys around the trade deadline. What was your family's and friends' experience? You hear a lot of articles sent to you and a lot of text saying, is this happening? Or
yeah, a lot of that. A lot of texts that kind of, you know, hey, I saw this report, and you're like, I saw it too.
How do you balance the, you know, the thought of possibly going to a contender, pitching for a winner, against staying here? You know these guys. It's kind of a rebuild situation. How do you toss those things around in your mind?
I mean, either way, I'm going to give the same effort, so that's all that really matters. Like I said, I just want to perform, so it's pretty much just that simple.
Doesn't the idea of pitching for a team that has a chance to play in the postseason, though, it's got to be intriguing, though, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think we're not here with the mindset that we're going to lose, you know, so we're excited here. It's we're good to be back, and yeah, either way is going to be a positive and a win-win, so. I'm happy to be here.
What is that mindset like? You said it's not to lose. What is the mindset? What do you sense from the group here?
I think it's, obviously we're, you know, still kind of getting to know each other, a lot of new faces, but I think the biggest thing is just putting in the effort and putting in the work, and, you know, there's no reason to start the season with any self-doubt, you know. It's baseball is one of those games that anything can happen. So I think we're all, you know, preparing to do the best that we can and see what happens.
What do you make of kind of the state of the team after all the new faces come in and Chris does everything to the roster and, and even maybe incorporating some of the stuff that you personally went through this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's still early, so I haven't seen a lot of, you know, a lot of everybody in action, but the spirits are high. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of good attitude, so that makes a big difference. And you know, for on the field stuff, it's you know, I haven't really seen a lot of the new guys and all that, so I think that'll be kind of more of something to tell as we get into games and kind of get rolling.
Dylan, you had the Cy Young runner-up finish in 22, obviously a little step back in the numbers last year. What did you kind of hone in on and try to work on this offseason to get back to where you were a couple years ago?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is just getting my body and arm ready. You know, it's your preparation in the offseason is obviously very important, but I think, you know, kind of now is when you really start dialing in the you know, the pitching side of it. Not that you're not in the offseason, but it's, you know, it's a little bit more of getting in shape and kind of putting the body through a little higher intense throwing. When you take some time off, that can take a minute to get used to again. So you know, for me, it's just make sure my body's physically ready, make sure I'm in a good mindset, and just get here and focus.
Is it at all jarring to walk in the clubhouse and just see how different the roster is and all these new faces? I mean, that's a major roster turnover.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's I'm used to coming here, and there's a lot of you know, older vet guys and stuff like that, and it's definitely different this year. Yeah, it's definitely different.
Are you that guy now that you just talked about?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I have enough time for that. I do feel like I'm probably one of the more tenured players, I guess. I'd have to look at it. But, yeah, definitely it happened really quick. It happened a lot quicker than I think a lot of us were expecting.
Chris put such an emphasis on trying to improve the defense this offseason. As a pitcher, what does it mean to have guys behind you who have a strong defensive reputation and can maybe make the plays that weren't being made with as much consistency in the recent years?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, if you're trying to play fundamental baseball and you know, win close games, obviously you know, the defense is super important. So I think it's smart to try to improve your defense, and you know, I think we have a lot of guys now that, like you said, have really good defensive reputations. So it's going to be a lot cleaner baseball.
What was you mentioned mindset a little earlier? What was your sort of mindset throughout the offseason? Was it just sort of like just kind of focus on what you can control? Were you surprised that something happened or didn't happen, or in general, what was your mindset?
Yeah, biggest thing was just focusing on getting my body ready. You know, it's I kind of just followed the reports, and I guess I assume that they were, you know, they're accurate. But yeah, it was. I tried to just treat it like I would any other off season. And you know, there was definitely a lot of noise, but at the end of the day, like I said, I just want to perform. So the more I can focus on what I got to do, that's really all that matters.
With all those reports, it almost felt like a foregone conclusion, like Sox fans are going to say goodbye to you. Do you feel surprised that you are here on day one?
I don't know if surprise is the right word. I really wasn't looking at it with, I guess, a whole lot of expectation. It, you know, for a while, it did look like it was going to happen. I kind of just assumed it, but when it didn't, you know, I was like, all right, let's go.
Do you expect to have to kind of continue to deal with that as the season goes along?
Maybe. I mean, it's not really anything I'm focused on. I just want to perform, you know.
That's one thing that both Chris and Pedro talked about, was just sort of like, you know, do you have that mindset to be able to block out all that noise? Just how are you able to do that?
I don't know. I mean, just you can only focus on so much, I guess. And the more you can focus on what really matters, I think that's what's important. Either way, I'm grateful to be a Major League Baseball player. So whether I'm here or somewhere else, I'm going to try to make the most of the opportunity. And, you know, that's all that really matters.
Did Chris give you any kind of heads up at the end of last season that, you know, that they may be doing some things different, that you could be part of that?
No, I think that was a little more into the off season that started to surface.
And then both him and Ethan and Brian, all you guys, well, you were staying in touch with the pitching guys anyway,
yeah,
right? But
I mean,
but they, Chris, how many times do you think he talked to you about trade stuff in particular?
We talked a couple times, especially later in the off season. But yeah, for the most part, it was, It was kind of a regular offseason other than, you know, hearing all the rumors.
You said you want to perform. Mm-hmm. Does it matter what team you're performing for over the next 2 years? Do you want to stick with this team, or do you just want to be able to do your stuff wherever that might be?
Yeah, a lot of that's out of my control. You know, it's at the end of the day, wherever I have to go, I do just want to perform. It would be great to be here. Like I said, I have a lot of great relationships here. The city of Chicago is awesome, so it's a lot of benefits. I kind of just look at it as like a win-win, really. Like I said, I just want to be out there and perform.
There haven't been any discussions at all about an extension for you, right?
No, yeah. There haven't been any.
How do you feel physically? I mean, it's never been an issue for you. How is your off-season growing, and how do you feel today?
Yeah, I feel great. This was the first off-season in a while where I wasn't getting some tricep soreness and some little aches, so I get to do a full ramp up. I kind of hit all my numbers that I want to hit, so I feel like I'm in a really good spot.
So you said you really love the city of Chicago. If you were to get traded, what would you miss most about the city?
Ooh. I just think it's a super clean big city, you know? It just, some big cities you kind of feel like everything's on top of each other, where Chicago is just spread out. In summer, it's perfect, and food's great. Museums, all kinds of stuff to do. Art museum's awesome. So, Chicago's a great city.
What has it been like working with Brian Bannister? We saw him working pretty closely and in depth with some guys just during a bullpen session.
I haven't gotten to do a whole lot with him yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I know he's kind of infamous for some pitch grip stuff and different things like that. So, I'm excited to pick his brain and kind of see what he's got for me and what he thinks. Anytime you can bring on someone with a reputation like that, it's definitely great.
What has the message been, either from him over the offseason or from Ethan over the offseason? What has kind of the message from the team been from what they're looking for from you?
Message. I think very similar to last year, hopefully a little better. You know, make all your starts, execute pitches, kind of the same old, you know. Definitely don't overthink it. Don't, you know, it can be very tempting in this game if you don't get the results to try a million different things, where sometimes it's just you gotta follow the process, you know?
This could be the earliest we've ever asked this, but how does it feel to get another opening day start?
it's great. I still feel like it's something I have to earn, and you know, it's, I'm not really even thinking that far ahead yet, but it was definitely funny to be, mentioned that early.
Estrini said he bumped into you in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to watch him at all or have an impression of him?
Yeah, I got to see a little bit of tail end of his bullpen. I didn't get to see a whole lot. Big body, definitely has good stuff. But, yeah, like I said, I haven't seen a whole lot of him, but I look forward to watching him this spring.
What did you think of the new uniforms? Some players have been noticing they look different this year.
Yeah, they're seem like they got the breathable mesh or whatever. Is it design? I don't know. I haven't even really noticed that much of a difference.
They feel different at all?
I haven't worn it yet. Ask me in a week.
All right, there's White Sox. Note the team. White Sox ace Dylan Cease, an opening day starter for your 2024 season. I doubt he's going to get traded. I mean, again, temperature, if we had a, you know, 0 to 100, 100 being he's traded tomorrow, maybe even during this episode, 0, he'll make that opening day start. Where are we at on that thermometer if we're using the Celsius scale? Oh, Vinny's muted. Hold on, Vinny. All right.
Go ahead.
Certainly closer to zero, I would say. But I think the one thing that you can look at is the state of the offseason in general, and the fact that there's still, it would seem, business to be done, and that there are a lot of kind of premier free agents still waiting for a job. So maybe with that being the case, teams have not yet finished their work. Things can still change in terms of where they might want to pivot, you know, because things are still unsettled. But it would seem that from everything we've heard from the national reporters who report on these kind of things, the trade deadline would be a more realistic time for him to be traded than any other prior to that. But also, you know, keep in mind injuries. You know, there's, I think we already saw that Justin Verlander is you know, behind schedule. You know, it's literally day one of spring training, and we're already starting to hear some of the stuff about injuries that could throw teams' pitching plans into a little bit more chaos than they were expecting maybe yesterday.
Yeah, and I saw the Rangers are likely done with acquisitions, so, you know, that at least cancels out one team that might be adding a starter. Herb, is it at zero?
I think it's like at two, because there's never a... I mean,
you couldn't get me a round number, five, you give me two?
Two's a round number. It's a whole-ass number. But when's the last time you heard of a spring training trade? Like, it's very settled usually when you're here. There's signings, of course, but very seldom do you have a spring training trade go down, especially of this type of magnitude, which it would be bringing back the players that Dylan Cease, his talents, would offer coming back for the White Sox. So I would say two, because there's, you know, as Pedro said in the clip that Vinny sent to us, and we'll hear from Pedro a little later, the 0.0% a chance of making the playoffs seems a little extreme, and I think the 0.0 chance of him getting traded seems a little weird, because that would mean it's impossible to happen, which it's not impossible to happen, just very unlikely.
This is from 2014, so obviously things have changed, and this is from Fangraphs. Jason Hamill in the 2009 offseason or spring training with 3.7 WAR was traded. Niger Morgan with 3.6 WAR was traded in 2011. AJ Burnett in the 2012 spring training with 3 WAR was traded from the Yankees to Pittsburgh in the 2012 offseason. Jason Hamill again, he's traded everywhere, from Colorado to Baltimore with 2.6 WAR, and Michael Wirtz, who I think was a Cub to Oakland trade. Cubs legend. Okay, Cody's saying Cubs legend. That 2009 sucks. Spring training.
What do you say, Baltimore, from where to Baltimore?
So he went 2009, Jason Hamill, Tampa to Colorado, and then in 2012, Colorado to Baltimore.
Both times he had to go from Arizona to Florida or Florida to Arizona.
Oh, spring training. Yeah, I mean, it gave him 3 years. So, I mean, it's got settled for a little bit. I mean, that's not crazy. But Kenley Jansen, even with Boston right now, still there's trade rumors that they might deal him. So it's kind of a unique offseason where maybe we'd see a trade. So I get why you put it at maybe two. Rather than five. We'll take a break. We'll talk about the jerseys that Dylan Cease haven't worn yet. We'll talk about Brian Bannister. He really hasn't worked with Brian Bannister yet, but you saw him work with Michael Kopech. We'll see what your impression of Brian Bannister is. We'll also hear from Pedro Grifol on his impression of Brian Bannister, the new senior advisor to pitching.
Correct.
Okay, cool. All right, let's take a break. We'll let you know about our friends over at CD1 Price Cleaners. Our friends over at CD1 Price Cleaners, which makes them unique, is the ease that they offer you and the price. Low prices. Customers save over 30% on their dry cleaning bills by switching to CD1 Price Cleaners, because it's one price. It's in the name. It's simple and it's a transparent service. Other cleaners charge a different price for every garment type. Plus, they have upcharges and you may pay a different price each time you visit. At CD1 Price Cleaners, we charge one low price for any garment, even sports jerseys. The same one low price. Again, CD1 Price Cleaners, they'll offer you one low price to wash your garments, and they have a fast turnaround. They have your order ready the same day or the next day. Other cleaners take 2 to 4 days and have your to have your clean garments ready, and they have text alerts. They'll send you a text when your order is ready for pickup. They also offer dry cleaning, wash and fold laundry, blanket comforters if you need those washed. They'll offer tailor and alterations to your clothing. They have also cleaning for leather and area rugs. So visit chgo.cd1one.com, and the link is also in the description. Once you're there, you can pick from an in-store coupon or online pickup and delivery coupon options. Again, visit chgo.cdone. I don't know how to spell that letter, number. I really just want to put the actual numeral. It's one.com, and the link is in the description if you don't understand what I'm saying. Go check them out, and they're offering you coupons already from their low price, that one price, Herb.
Yes, that is good. Are we ready?
Yeah, we're not singing. I mean, you could just start telling me about ComEd's low energy in their.
I'm just making sure
business.
You're ready. It's getting easier for businesses to switch to electric vehicles. That's something we can all get behind for the health of the planet and the well-being of all of us who share it.
Because the electric grid is evolving to meet your cleaner energy needs as we all move with confidence towards an electric tomorrow. Plus, Vinny is going to be checking out the Electric Tomorrow Music Festival while he is down in Arizona. We're very excited to get that report. But whether you have one delivery van or a whole fleet of shipping trucks, ComEd can help guide you to make the changes that make sense.
So what should business owners do?
Well, Herb, they should go to ComEd.com/clean to learn more about the resources, fleet rebates, rebates and infrastructure incentives available to help businesses go electric. It's electric. Boogie, woogie, woogie. If you own a business, don't wait. Start making your plan today to switch to electric vehicles. Because it's good for businesses, it's good for the planet, and it's good for all of us who share that lovely, lovely planet. So go to ComEd.com/clean.
Did you say ComEd.com/clean?
You bet I said ComEd.com/clean. Go now and see how going electric connects us to a better way of doing business and a better future for generations to come. The generations of the MLB jersey, I think, are going down the toilet. That's my opinion. I don't know if I can even say it's a professional opinion because I don't know how to label myself. If we can see the graphic that I made, Dylan Cease has not worn the jacket, jerseys yet. Michael Kopech has. And as you can see from the 2023 video that the White Sox put out on their Twitter, you could see the old jerseys where that MLB logo is up a little bit higher and those numbers are a little bit bigger and they're stitched and those numbers are a little bit more detailed. They have a little bit more outlining where mm-hmm. the jersey on the right is a little bit reminiscent of my kids' A-Rod All-Star jersey from 2006 that I got for Easter. It's
a very good what was that visual you gave?
Callback. Very much. It doesn't have that same pizzazz. Dylan said ask him in a week, so we obviously can't go off Dylan's opinion. But they just look weird and ugly, I think, but ugly, as I said yesterday. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are. We don't have to spend too long on this. We can go back into the more important things that Dylan talked about, but at least that was the last thing that he said, that he doesn't have an opinion yet, but man, they look ugly.
Go ahead, Vinny.
I don't really care, to be honest with you, but I will say that they look different and they look weird compared to what we are used to seeing from Major League Baseball uniforms. I've seen them close up. I can tell you what the difference is. They're not patches, right? I mean, that's basically what it comes down to, is that the letters and numbers on the back of the jersey, and I believe the logo on the front is the same. Those were patches. They were giant, big patches. And if you've ever owned an authentic MLB jersey, you know, it doesn't feel like a regular shirt. This is, I guess, kind of rubbery, graphic-y stuff. And then there is sewing around it. There's still stitching around the number. Obviously, you're judging it from a design standpoint. I think the 2 cents that I would offer is from a performance standpoint, it is probably vastly preferred in that you're not carrying a giant patch on your jersey. That being said, baseball, not just fans, as you're exhibiting, but players are creatures of habit. And to see something like that change is probably, not something that they're super excited about. I will say they're probably lighter. They are probably more breathable, to use the word that Dylan used when he was asked about it. They look vastly different, perhaps, in your opinion, or I would probably agree with you. They look less professional to our eye, having been trained as to what they're quote-unquote supposed to look like. But I would say this, that it's probably one of those things that in a few years, this will just be what baseball jerseys look like and have looked like, and people probably won't care too much. I always thought it was kind of strange that baseball jerseys are more of like a fancy shirt instead of like a t-shirt that you would play a sport in, and so this is perhaps a move away in that direction. Certainly I know that the internet is mad, as it usually is about everything. So
yeah, I think it's like when you're a kid, and this is half the reason why I really didn't like snapbacks, because that's what they give you, standard issue snapbacks for your major league or for your little league teams, and you get the throwover t-shirts, and so you're like, ugh. The baseball players who I look up to are wearing those nice uniforms with the button-up jerseys and the fitted hats. I want to look like the pros. And so it's like, ugh, you know, like it looks like you went to Marshall's and got that jersey. It looks like you went to DH Gate or any of the Chinese sites that you get, and it looks off. That's kind of the vibe they're giving. And if it's cooler and smoother for the players, I'm all for it, because I think, as I brought up last year, the black, you know, in the sun could be a little taxing for the White Sox and other teams who wear black because of black, attracting the sun and retaining heat. So I just think if it's better for them and they feel better in those jerseys, more power to them. But I wouldn't like it to look so cheap and so flimsy.
Well, right. Miles Michael has said that it doesn't feel professional, right? And I mean, I was watching MLB Network and those jerseys have never changed, right? From 2023 to what Greg Maddux was wearing. That was the same design. It was the same bulkiness, right? It was that still that same heft and that stitching. But like, now college teams have more professional-looking jerseys than this. And I know, again, we don't have to spend too long on this. I know that this isn't the most important thing. But we also didn't hear a ton of players complaining about this. And I feel like there had to be something special where you actually had, like, a true jersey. This is signed by Chris Chelios. Maybe I should be a little bit more careful
with it. That's a sweater.
Oh, sorry.
They'll get on you.
You'll get whatever.
Those some bitches will get on you. Call it a
sweater. But, like, you know, it's stitched, right? It's a heft. There's like a realness to it. Like, oh, hey, we are professionals. Maybe it isn't the comfiest or most aerodynamic, like Nolan Arenado said, but mm-hmm. I don't know. But it kind of makes the man in a way. I don't know. It's more of an elevated look, right? Like you are supposed to look different because you play different. You're a different level of athlete. This isn't Bush leagues, right? I mean, softball teams like Nicky Lopez's dad's team has better jerseys than this. Probably.
They do, and it just looks like the lettering and the spacing on the lettering is a little more wide out. And as Luke points out, that you know, imagine Maldonado's name on that jersey. I think about William Van Landingham or Jared Saltonlamacchia, the long names back of the day, just like started on the butt and then go up to the back and then come back down to the butt type of a jersey. Well, with these, they're like fucking huge spaces between the lettering.
Even the small names too. Like Lance Lynn's looks so weird because they're so tiny. You know, Giovanni Soto, White Sox legend. His last name would look so weird.
Just a whisper. It's like Soto. 48.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It just looks odd. Anyways, let's go back to Dylan. I liked your question about, you know, does it matter in a way what team you're pitching for, right? I mean, obviously his goals are his goals and he's trying to be the best pitcher possible. It would have been great, though. He'd been like, oh, yeah, you know, I really liked him. My name was thrown out there with the Yankees. But it seems like he wants a cleaner city.
Listen, I think, like I said earlier and like was posed to Dylan, Chris Getz, Pedro Grifol, they've been talking all offseason about this, and they're saying, man, it couldn't have really happened. This situation couldn't have happened to a more well-equipped guy. And I think this guy's personality allows him to basically say whatever happens, happens, and mean it. You know what I mean? I mean, he has been traded before. He's not, you know, naive to the idea that, oh, I'm going to be with the same team for my entire career. And I think most players probably aren't naive to that, particularly in this day and age. They realize kind of how this sport works and how pro sports in general works. And to be able to be at peace with that and say, I'm just going to go about my business and, you know, you kind of point me where the mound is and I'll go out there and throw. I mean, that's good for the guy and that's good for his head, you know, to not necessarily have to worry about that. Not because of the situation, but because of the person that you are. Now, what does it mean for the White Sox? I mean, listen, they're probably, you think, still be open to trading him should they get the right price or the right return package. You know, we asked Dylan if there'd been any extension talks. He said there hadn't been. You know, he seems like he would like to play for this team and in the city of Chicago, but also, he's basically saying, all right, wherever I need to go to do what I do, which is pitch and pitch really, really well, I'll go there.
I think that Dylan is the perfect person for this, you know, kind of these trade rumors, because not only the demeanor that he has, but he's already been traded in his professional career before with the Cubs as the minor leaguer to the White Sox. And so it's not old hat because it never probably gets new or old to a player going from one place that he is pretty much grown up in with the White Sox to go to another atmosphere. But he seems like, you know, I'm a mercenary. You know, these people sign my checks. I don't necessarily have a allegiance to these people. And he said he doesn't have any control over where he's pitching. So he says, you know, it's my job to get prepared for wherever I'm going to be pitching. And, you know, some people would lie to you and say, yeah, I didn't read all the rumors. I didn't get that stuff. He just said, no, I was reading that stuff. People sent it to me. He's like, yeah, I already know. I got you. So I think he's very apart, and he doesn't really care, you know, about that extra stuff. I think he finds it humorous, and he's just going to go out and throw some strikes this year.
He's a
Zen, or whatever team he's on.
He's a Zen dude writing poetry. Like, I think you're absolutely right that he is the right guy for this. And again, he has made the most starts in Major League Baseball since 2021. He has given you a sample size of 64 starts with an ERA of 3.01. And then, yes, of course, his ERA was 4.58. But he went out and posted. He went out and made 33 starts and led the majors again. Were all of them great? No. Were there some pretty ones? Yes. Like, he wasn't a bad pitcher. He had some ups. He had some downs. Do you think that a guy that has his name in trade rumors, that is aware of these trade rumors, that is a professional, that understands the assignment, isn't going to be motivated by this and isn't going to be more like the 64-game sample size that he's given you and not the, you know, 33 sample size that he had last year? I think, especially with Brian Bannister, who he hasn't worked with yet, and that's kind of the most disappointing thing. I'm excited for more insight to what changes the White Sox are trying to do to the existing players, because obviously Dylan isn't perfect. Maybe there is some things where he can find more consistency with his slider and Bannister can help him with that. It will be interesting to see how that storyline develops. But I'm pretty confident that once Dylan Cease goes out and pitches for the White Sox, that stock's only going to rise more. And that waiting out that Chris Getz has done, that I know people are anxious about, will only be paid off. I mean, the only way that I think that turn sideways as if, you know, we're dealing with the unfortunate news of impossible reality of an injury, but hey, knock on wood, let's not, you know, let's move away from that. But anyways, like, Dylan does seem like the right guy for this, that can kind of tune this out and be ready for anything, because if he gets traded, he's just pitching for a competitor and he's probably excited for that. Like, he seems willing and open for any challenge that's thrown out to him. Anything else on Dylan Cease that you want to throw out there, or should we move to the mysterious Brian Bannister that made his first appearance at White Sox camp?
Yeah, I don't know how mysterious he was, but we did see a lot of him today, so we can shift to that gear if you'd like.
All right, let's hear from Pedro Grifol first, because we'll get a little bit of insight from Pedro, and then Vinny can give us his first impressions of Brian Bannister, and then we'll chat more. But here's Pedro Grifol on the expectations, the vibe change at camp, Brian Bannister is addition, and then there's one more topic that I can't think of, but Pedro Grifol is going to talk to you now.
Pitch shapes, execution, who each one of them really is, and what works for them, staying in their strengths, and there's a heck of a lot more. He's a real big asset to this pitching department, and him, Ethan, and Matt together, they make a really good team. You know, and I'm really excited about that.
Pedro, with so many new guys, I mean, massive roster turnover, how do you handle that as a manager and try to acclimate everyone and yourself get acclimated with so many new faces?
First of all, I'm loving it. You know, I'm loving every minute of it. These guys are hungry. Everybody got something to play for. As an individual, we got something to play for as an organization. There's a hell of a lot of competition. They know it. They're aware of it. We know it. We did our homework acquiring these guys. We've done our homework on what we want this team to look like. Not so much personnel-wise, but what we want it to look like on the field. You know, how we want it to play, you know, how we want it to act like. So this is an exciting time for us.
We mentioned yesterday, I'm not sure to you, but we're talking people that the projections towards your team are not very kind. I think Bakota has you 65.5 wins. Do you pay much attention to that?
I don't really until we come out with 0.00 chance of making the playoffs, right? And you know, that motivates the heck out of me. I know it's a little bit of the talk in there. You know, this is a division that, you know, obviously nobody's scheduled to run away with it. Why not us, right? You know, we're here. We got to play 162 games. If we were out of it already, then why play? You know, we're not out of it. We got 162 games to play. And we got close to 40 days to prepare for those 162 games. So I know they got to do their job. And, the percentages are the percentages. You know, our job is to prove them wrong. You know, and that's what we're working on.
It's motivating you. Can you tell it's motivating your guys?
It's motivating everybody. It's got to be motivating everybody in the building. If it's not, then, you know, you got to check yourself at that door. I don't know if this is the right place for you, but 0.0% after turning over a roster the way we've turned it over, and new front office members and new coaches and new vibe and energy and the work that was done in the offseason, you know, it's good. It's good to hang up on the wall.
we are likely going to either maybe make a physical thing that we can hang up on the wall for the Pacoda projections. Maybe we'll just make a graphic. But I think that is obviously the money quote that we'll talk about after the first break. But we heard Dylan Cease, you know, mention Brian Bannister and that he's really good with pitch shapes. We hear Pedro Grifol lead that off with pitch shapes. I don't know what you were able to pull away from, you know, watching Michael Kopech and Brian Bannister talk from 25 feet, but did you see any pitch shapes change there, Vinny? I don't know how much you gleaned from watching, but what did you pick up from Brian Bannister on day one?
Just very, you know, in-depth, intensive work with these pitchers. And it started with Michael Kopech. And so obviously everyone took notice because that's a guy that a lot of folks have their eye on this spring. It's a guy who, quite frankly, Brian Bannister probably has at the top of his list in terms of guys that he needs to help, you know, improve, you know, or fix, to use a different word. It was every other pitch, you know, Brian Bannister would step in there, show Michael Kopech a grip that maybe he should be changing, should talk to him about the arm angle, exactly where he needed to be releasing it, what effect that was having. It was a lot of conversation in the middle of a bullpen. And listen, this is early in spring training. I'm not trying to paint a picture, excuse me, of Kopech needing that instruction, but it really stood out.
It's good to see. I mean, we've been talking about Brian Bannister the whole offseason, and, you know, I thought, you know, they probably called people, but they're far apart from, you know, where they live and their situations, got their own families. But it's good to see him in there immediately and the project that Michael Kopech is, because I think he sees, because he was in Boston, that there's a person in there that could be at the top of the rotation pitcher. He just needs some adjustments, and this is why, probably in the money, that Brian Bannister took the job. He sees Kopech as, this could be my grand thing where I turn this guy in from a middling to failing starter to the top of the rotation guy that he should be. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm very encouraged by that. And even if it doesn't work, at least you're trying something different instead of saying, well, Kopech's been healthy this whole offseason, he should be better, and then just throw your arms up after that. They're actually proactively doing something to make him better, and that's great to see.
Yeah, I mean,
and I don't want to just call this out for just Kopech too. Bannister finished up with Kopech and then moved on and did the exact same thing with Touki Toussaint. And then when Touki's bullpen was over, he did the exact same thing with Justin Anderson and an NRI. So I mean, we got an insight into the way that Brian Bannister is working with these pitchers, more so than here's what he's doing XYZ to fix Michael Kopech specifically. It stood out that, listen, this is a guy who's having an impact. We heard about it all offseason long in terms of the acquisitions that this team made. Now we're seeing it in the day-to-day work here. Now the camp is underway.
And Melissa asks, do other teams have dudes like Brian Bannister? Are we like 8 years behind the eight ball on this? If you Google senior advisor to pitching, the only thing that comes up is Brian Bannister. So at least that unique of a title,
there you go.
But maybe his title from last year. What was he?
He wasn't
director of pitching.
He wasn't senior advisor to pitching.
He wasn't. So I'm just being
very specific. I don't think that there are many, at least with this specific seniority, like a senior pitching coach. I think this is fairly newish, outside of Brian Bannister himself.
I mean, the White Sox, like, didn't they bring in a catching guy, too? They brought in a guy that they haven't had in their catching staff forever. And so Butera's there now. Now you have Brian Bannister. While this offseason hasn't been thrilling for most White Sox fans, I would judge it as a C. I like difference. I like not going down the same path we've been to and then saying, okay, let's see if we can get these good results out of these people. But bringing in Brian Bannister, bringing in, I want to say Sal Butera, but it's probably Drew.
It's his son, I believe, right?
Yeah, Drew Butera.
Yeah.
This is great. This is a good thing for the White Sox to think different and do different.
I'm looking at the Rays because I'm trying to, you know, maybe that'd be the team that I think would probably have something like this. Director of pitching operations. So
that might be it. Yeah.
Winston Doom is the director of pitching operations for the Tampa Rays. So it's pretty.
That's sick. A cool name.
A really sick name. Let's take a break, and we're going to talk about Chris Getz's comments on projections and the differingness or the different nature, at least from Pedro Grifol.
Winston Doom, D-O-O-M.
Yeah, like Doom the video game. Okay. Like, and Winston like the smokes.
Like the Ghostbusters.
Your first Doom is the to go to the video game.
What's the other Doom?
Doctor Doom.
But that's a doctor.
Obviously. Yeah.
And this guy is just
feared,
Doom.
He's the most feared villain in the Marvel universe.
Dork.
Come on. You brought up a video game. It's just as dorky.
Sure.
Touche. That was a good at Game Time, they believe that you shouldn't have to worry about when you're buying tickets for your next big event. Game Time has a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events that are near you. And with killer last-minute deals and all-in pricing, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I bought tickets in Atlanta a couple years ago. Went to a secondary market to see about the Game Time guarantee. Saw only one that had a better price in the row in the section that I was in. Sent this information to Game Time, and within 12 minutes, the 110% difference was in my account. You could see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly where your seat at Game Time. And the all-in prices that I talked about show you the total upfront, so you are not getting all these hidden fees when you do buy those great tickets. And you buy tickets in seconds with two taps. And Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats. You can fly in exclusive flash deals, sponsor deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And the Game Time guarantee, as I just talked about, means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section or row for less, Game Time will give you credit 110% of that difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app today, create an account, use the code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Thank you, Herb. I know Melissa, our good friend in the chat, is a diehard. We also had new diehards like John, Nathan, Andrew, Raymond, Joe, and Matt. Also Arnold as well.
Hey, Arnold.
Do you want to scream it?
No.
Don't they scream it in the open?
Yeah.
You sure you're not going to
beat
gonna
it,
be brave?
Football head?
Yeah. Did you guys see that commercial? Because they won't stop playing it on any time I watch or stream anything. Where they throw the "Hey Arnold" because this guy's got the football head. But anyways, where was I? I got lost. Doing a read. Those lovely people who are brand new diehards not only got a box, and we'll get a box soon with a shirt of their choice, a sticker, a membership card, access to the CHGO Discord Lounge. They also get 20% off to our events. If you go to allchgo.com/events, you can check out the upcoming events like our CHGO Blackhawks takeover as the seasons of at least the Sox and Cubs start. The Bulls continue on. They just had a takeover for themselves. We'll have more and more events that you, the diehards, can take advantage of. And if you're not a diehard yet, now is a perfect time to sign up over at allchgo.com. Vinny starting a weekly piece. White Sox Weekly, where you are going to get a little beat write-up for diehards from Vinny Duber. And make sure that you head over, again, to allchgo.com to take advantage of the 20% off for events. You get your free shirt, you get access to the Discord, and you join the community that we're building here at AllCHGO. All right, let's get into Pedro's comments. We're going to make the nice framed printout of the Pecota projections at 0.0%. I think he said 0.00% to be accurate.
He went the extra decimal place.
Yeah, to be accurate, I think Fangraphs has it at 0.8%. So it's probably like, you know, 0.4% for the Sox. Pecota just rounded down because it wasn't 0.5%. So it's not that dire. It's not 0.0000000% chance. But I found it interesting that, you know, Pedro puffed up his chest a little bit and was like, oh, if that doesn't motivate you, you know, there's the door, basically. It wasn't exactly what he said, but Chris Getz, who about the same projections on Monday, said, I've never been a part of a team where anyone within the roster steps into the clubhouse and says, hey, we want X amount of wins this year. It starts with the day in front of you, and when the season begins and opening day hits, you want to win that game, and then you just want to continue to play quality baseball, and then the wins start stacking up. I'm well aware of what the projections are. Our goal is to go beyond what projections are, and I think most teams could say something like that or believe in something like that. You know what it takes. It takes a team to come together. We got individuals that are selfless players. Still, you have something to prove to themselves. We certainly don't want to play games in which we beat ourselves. Seems like Pedro's a little bit more, let's use the projections to motivate us, where Chris Getz is more, you as a player already have your own motivations and you don't need to listen to some website that has you at, you know, 0.0% compared to 0.8%, right? Just go and let your work show for you. So I feel like that is a little bit of a different message, even though Pedro Grifol seems to be like, we're on the same vibe and the vibe's cleaned up, baby. Listen to this, Fleetwood Mac.
Which favorite song? But I
don't
think,
fucking know.
I think, though, it's a good thing to have a us against the world type of mentality. That's what it seems like Pedro will have. He'll have a cardboard cutout of Rachel Phelps in the back. Just start taking off little pieces so we can see the naked body of Rachel Phelps. Rest in peace to the actress. You know, that's the type of vibe I'm getting from him. It's like, ugh, Pecota, 0.0? All right, bet money.
Yeah, but
or
that's
have
like,
a picture of Pecota, which there is no such thing.
That's what, like, you know, Michigan football did, but Michigan football was, like, you know, good.
Yes.
Right? Like, I mean, it's us against everybody, and we're going to win 70 games. And, you know, the elephant in the room is that the AL Central sucks, and we're just a big part of that giant ball of suck.
Amen. You don't know what motivates these people that, you know, something that somebody's already... Everybody's saying that they're bad. Even their fans are saying that they're bad, that they're not going to do anything. And maybe there's just a little effort in them. And maybe that doesn't do anything but give them like three more wins. But three more wins is better than the 60 they had last year. And I don't see them being as bad as they were last year. But this team has to do whatever they can to get any type of wins out of this team. And if that's what Pedro's message is, like, we're going to work hard, we're going to field the ball, we're going to be a great defensive team, and these motherfuckers don't believe in us, we got motivation, guys. Let's do it. And then rah-rah. And then yay. And the players are like, ugh, get out of here, Pedro. We're grown men.
Well, I think what Dylan said today almost probably frames it a little bit better, which is just he came out and said, we don't think we don't come in here expecting to lose. Like, you know, I mean, the records are 0-0, and, you know, we can sit here and tell you, boy, this roster sure doesn't look capable of winning a lot of games, but they're still going to go play. Like, what do you want them to say, Sean? Yeah, we're no good. We think we're going to lose 100 games. Like, you'd be grilling them for saying that, too, I'm sure. Like, it's just, you know, this is spring training. This is when people all say, hey, the records are back to nothing, and we have a chance if everything goes right. Like, yeah, I guess they do. But, you know, we can be realistic, and I'm sure they can be realistic up in the front office. It's Pedro's job to win games. And so if he's trying to find them a way to – you know, say, all right, let's think about this a little differently. You know, he's in there to manage a clubhouse, to manage these guys. I don't think it's crazy for him to sit there and say, we can be motivated when this computer projection says we have no chance. Because what's the harm? You know, what's the harm in being motivated by that? If they go out and lose anyway, then they lose anyway. But you'd rather have them try to win than not, right?
No, I know. I'm just saying the GM is saying, like, let's not worry about the projections. And the general manager is saying, let's not worry about the projections. And the manager is saying, hey, we're aware of the projections. Like, I'm just trying to wonder, like, what are the White Sox, are the White Sox worried about it or not worried about it? I'm not trying to grill them, and I'm sorry if my tone is a little too harsh.
But I also think that it was obvious that the Guardians had a motivation in 2022 for the White Sox. In their celebration, you saw all they were talking about was White Sox stuff. Fuck Tony La Russa. Fuck the White Sox. All the things that happened that year. Yes, that team was much better than the White Sox are currently built, but who knows? You know, you don't know what these guys are motivated from or about, and they brought in a bunch of people who are clubhouse dudes, and maybe that's what they get motivated by, like the no one believes in us type of stuff, and now they're a bunch of kind of like miscreants and throwaways from other organizations. Maybe they're brought together as this White Sox team and they come together as a unit because of no one believes in us, and it is truly us against the world. It's a lot of rah-rah stuff, and yes, I have to go far to believe that, but I also don't blame Pedro for using that and the White Sox for using that as some type of motivation. Because it's a long season. You need something to look forward to. And this was probably some of that working itself into that clubhouse.
Hey, I don't care what the motivation is. I'm just wondering again, like, are we listening to the Getz on that? We're not listening to that as motivation, or are we listening to Griffel, who is more probably in tune with this clubhouse and, you know, talking to them on day-to-day basis?
What I would say is, from someone who's done this a while and constantly has to hear from people telling me and us, the assembled media, that they don't read anything and they don't see anything and they don't pay attention to anything. That's not how people work. And so when you hear, like from Dylan Cease today, yeah, I followed every single rumor that I heard and I knew exactly what was going on. When you hear from Pedro Grifol saying, yeah, I saw that whatever computer churned out that we were going to do this year. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, because that's how the world works in 2024. You see everything all the time unless you throw your phone into the river. You know, like it is a refreshing way for people to talk. I'm not saying that they have to be obsessed with it. No one should be. But to hear them say, yeah, I saw it, rather than just like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. I think we're going to, doesn't everybody think we're great and that we're so improved and that everything's going to be fantastic? I think that is refreshing in that sense, at least. And we heard it twice today from both Dylan and Pedro in regards to different topics.
So, and then at least is Getz, because of his greenness with this position, with his, you know, newness to this job, is he just going to be a little bit cleaner with his answer about not worrying about online projections because he's just trying to put a good team out there? Is it fine that there's a different vibe from the guy in the front office compared to the guys that are actually playing out there?
Yeah, because I don't think they're diametrically opposed. Like, Getz has to do his job, and not part of his job is not worrying about projections because there's nothing literally he can do about it. Pedro can use those projections as a motivational tool. So there's two different styles, but I don't think they're opposed to each other. So yeah, I think the message is clear. I think they both have different jobs to get their teams ready, and Getz can't worry about some computer saying that they're going to have nothing, no chance to win the playoffs, while Pedro has to use that as some type of motivation tool.
The Bulls are at 6 p.m., so we got to get out of here. Vinny, any final thoughts from spring training? We're obviously going to be back here at 5 p.m. on Thursday, so tune in with more from Vinny's updates from Arizona, but anything from else from day two?
No, I think we covered most of it at all. You know, it's good to be back out here and seeing dudes throwing bullpens.
Keep that sun black on. I know it's only like 60, 65, but that sun's still hot. That sun's still very, very strong. We also will be likely talking tomorrow. I know obviously people might have saw on Twitter that Jeff Passan tweeted out reliever Liam Hendricks, old friend, has multiple offers and has set a deadline of Thursday to sign with the team. Sources tell ESPN if Hendricks does not sign now, he would keep rehabbing from Tommy John surgery on his own and throw for teams in late July before signing for the stretch run. So we will keep you updated on Liam. Maybe we will even have a new team for Liam tomorrow to bring to you. So we are going to wrap this up. That is Herb Lawrence. That's Vinny Duber. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show. I'm Sean Anderson. Thank you everyone in the chat for hanging out with us. And the Bulls are going to be on at 6 p.m. So stay tuned to the CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Goodbye.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.